Good afternoon, brethren. Today I'd like to talk about a fruit of the Spirit that is peace. We know that in the book of Galatians there are two lists, the first being the works of the flesh and the second the fruit of the Spirit. Now we must avoid the works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit has a list of 9 components. And there are further components that are not in this list, but are shown in other places in Scripture. And it is not optional to live by the fruit of the Spirit. But we can only live by them in a manner acceptable to God with the help of His Spirit. So what does it mean to have the peace of God as a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Peace in Hebrew is shalom. Peace means total body experience. It means health, prosperity, peace. It occurs when one is in harmony and accord or agreement with others. This relates with unity. Now the Greek word is eirene, again meaning to join, peace, quietness, rest. People who are not committed do not have peace. And when they meet someone who is committed to the work of God and are at peace, they may consider that as self-righteousness. But we know there is a peace to doing what God has called us to do, even though we may not be doing it perfectly. We know our purpose and our place in life, and living it brings peace. Man's way, which is influenced by Satan, is vanity, jealousy, lust, and greed. Mr. Armstrong constantly taught about this. None of these are compatible with peace. As one example, greed. When this is experienced, the amount they have is never enough to satisfy. They want more. The same with other perversions. They constantly need more to get a thrill. God's concept of peace is more than just quietness. It's more than just having someone not shooting at us. This is certainly a component of peace, but some people have achieved peace in a Nazi death camp. They've had peace of mind. Their captors had power over their bodies, but not over their minds. Now, Christ told us not to worry about he who can destroy the body, but to be concerned about God who can destroy the body and spirit. The degree to which we lack peace in our lives is the degree to which we're out of harmony with the mind and spirit of God. A great example of a deacon who was in great peril for his life was Stephen. He had performed great signs and wonders, and he had great wisdom. Because of this, he was brought before the council, which was condemning him. His example shows it is possible to have peace of mind when before being executed. Now, God had encouraged him, certainly, by giving him a vision of Jesus Christ standing next to the Father. Because the council could not accept his criticism of them, they became exceedingly angry and proceeded to stone him. If we turn to Acts chapter 7, verses 59 to 60, where we can read, "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." This is a great example for us, as although we are not likely to be stoned, but knowing Stephen saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God can show us the peace that he had in this terrible situation. And it's interesting, the fact that he requested that God not charge them with this sin showed that he was putting into practice the admonition in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Stephen was doing all of this while he was being executed. That shows great peace of mind. To ensure that God will give us the peace we need, James writes in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As we read here, it is our initiative of drawing near to God first. And the concept of peace in a spiritual sense is much more than quietness. It is much more than not having someone shooting at us. It involves a lot of things, including emotional maturity and emotional control. From an old Ambassador College correspondence course, lesson 20, on the Holy Spirit, we read that God's Spirit brings the power needed for self-mastery, for accomplishment, for success, abundant joy, peace of mind, and the happiness which we all desire. But human nature is always striving to obtain more for the self. It has no rest or relaxation. It is full of worry, full of fears and frustrations. That is the way of human nature. God's nature is entirely different, and we are called to reflect his nature, not the nature of Satan. Of course, we can't do it on our own, but with God, all things are possible. We look now at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has uttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their oaths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. That's a way of life that is a way totally different to the way of peace. It's not hard to see that this world does not have a lot of peace of mind, or even physical peace, considering that at least two major wars are currently being fought, and other more minor wars are also occurring. And in the West, we feel the results of them in maybe higher fuel costs and higher food prices and shortages. But in poorer areas of the world, the result is likely to be starvation. As in the case of Ukraine and Russia, they are unable to export food to these poorer nations. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, talks about the works of the flesh. Our standards should not be, we are not as bad as the world. This certainly should, hopefully, will be true. But we should compare ourselves not with the world, but with the standard of Jesus Christ. If you turn now to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 to 17. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 to 17. We read there, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Now many rich people in the world sit down at a fatted calf, but have no peace. We may not have great possessions, but if we have the peace of God, we are wealthier than the richest person on earth who has continual worries. If you turn now to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 9. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But in comparison, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now we know there are many nice people in the world, but without God's Spirit, they cannot please God and are not his. Acts chapter 5, verse 32 informs us of this. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey him. And back to looking back at Romans 8, this shows us that peace is tied to obeying God, not living by the world's standards, but living by God's standards. And that is knowing where God wants us to be and what he wants us to be doing. Again, in the Ambassador College Correspondence Course, Lesson 47, God wants us to be in his kingdom. He wants us to come to him for forgiveness and the power to grow in his character. He wants us to ask him for help to overcome sin in our lives and to live by his commandments. We should ask God every day to help us to overcome, to show us our sins, to help us repent and change our lives. Now we can read that in Psalm 19, verses 12 to 13. Psalm 19, verses 12 to 13. This is something we should put in our memories. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Those are the faults that I may not see, because the normal state of the human mind is blindness to our own faults. Often we can see the faults in others. We can find that quite easy. But we find that much easier than finding our faults in ourselves. Verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. So what is a presumptuous sin? Well, one in particular is judging a fellow member. That would be presumptuous because judging is the role of Jesus Christ. As we can read in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Acts 17, verse 11, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance to this to all by raising him from the dead. So Jesus Christ is the judge, and if we take his job, we are being presumptuous. And we can also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So yes, we are to judge ourselves and find presumptuous sins and errors in our ways. So God wants to help us live our lives in obedience to him. But he cannot help us unless we ask him in prayer. God made us free moral agents. We must choose to rely on him and to ask for his help, to humble ourselves, recognizing our inherent weaknesses, and depend on him for the spiritual strength we need. So pray to God every day and ask him these things. Pray continually and fervently and expect God to answer you. As we read in James chapter 5, verse 16, James chapter 5, verse 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And here we read it, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And also remember the widow who came to the judge in Luke chapter 18, verse 7, where we read, "And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" We must have continual contact with God if we expect to receive eternal life. When we do, our prayers will enable a change in our lives through the power of God's Spirit, and then we will achieve the purpose for which we have been born. Next, we'll look at John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats of this bread will live forever.'" So we must live spiritually on the nourishment of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. How important are we to Christ individually? Well, he sacrificed his life for each individual person so we could experience eternal life with him. That's how important we are to him. In a 1964 Plain Truth magazine, there was an article on emotional control, which brought out some very good aspects of this. God's word points out to man the only true way to real peace, our mind, health, and happiness. We read this in Psalm 119, verses 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. "Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them." We should make it our goal to never let anything or anybody offend us for any reason, any way or manner. Try and develop that attitude. Don't be the type who only forgives on condition that they set down. Our obligation is to forgive, and if we don't forgive, then God will not forgive us. It does not matter if the other person has repented honestly or not, as we cannot read their mind. If we truly understand how important forgiveness is, for us forgiving others is to our receiving forgiveness from God, we would want to be in a forgiving attitude continually. We know how desperately we need God's mercy, and we want nothing to interfere with that process. Continuing with the article in The Plain Truth, "Learn to love and obey God's word. then you can have perfect peace of mind. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 informs us, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Once man begins to keep the laws and commandments of Almighty God, then and only then will he have peace of mind, health, happiness, and the promise of eternal life, something we all desire greatly. We see that health is tied in with peace of mind. Many of the illnesses we suffer with have an emotional component. As I read in the internet, a psychosomatic disorder is a physical illness or symptom caused or made worse by mental factors like stress, anxiety, or depression. These are factors that are not consistent with peace. There is a psychological term called dissonance, cognitive dissonance. That means a conflict in the mind. Now, one expression of this is guilt. When we think of guilt, guilt is very profitable if it causes repentance. Otherwise, it is useless. So forgiveness is fundamental to your sanity and also to your health. One person that needs to be forgiven the most is yourself. Anyone who is too hard on themselves to forgive himself is telling Christ that he is incompetent. God has chosen to forgive us. How dare we not forgive ourselves? If we turn now to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, we read, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and, guess what, peace, they will add to you. Although this is written by Solomon to his son, it is also true that if you keep God's law, a long life and peace are often natural results of that. Keeping in Proverbs, but chapter 3, verses 7 to 8, Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 8, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. God certainly ties peace into health. But even when our health is not the best, shall we say, we can still have peace. Now, continuing with the Plain Truth article, he who is filled with the love of God will not fear, because perfect love casts out fear. That's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. This person, the one who is filled with the love of God, will not have hatred toward anyone, because he will obey the God's command, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you, as we read that earlier in Matthew 5, verse 44. This sounds simple, very simple in theory, until you have reason to apply it. Then it can become very hard to apply it. Someone who is filled with the love of God will not be weighed down with feelings of guilt. He knows that he has repented and God has forgiven him of all his sins. We can read that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He who is filled with the true love of God will not hate anyone. He will not fear anyone or anything, including death. For God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Such a person will not worry about the future. He will have total faith in God's promise. Where we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ. That all is all encompassing. This person will not be frustrated or plagued with emotional upsets, which besets the average person. And these things lead to sickness and early death. Only through the indwelling presence of God's love, his Spirit, can man ever learn to control such emotions as hate, worry, and guilt, which makes the experience of God's peace impossible. Those three things are against peace. Today, millions are slowly committing suicide by harbouring wrong emotions. Countless millions of people are sick mentally and physically. How can man acquire a sound mind and body? Well, Solomon wrote that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. If we keep all of God's commandments, a person will become balanced, whole, a sound individual both in body and mind. Jesus Christ knew what he was talking about, and he literally meant what he said when he solemnly declared in John, the book of John, chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Only through heeding the word of God and keeping his commandments and living by his laws can man ever attain to real health, happiness and peace of mind and eternal life. Mankind is currently committing slow suicide, and this is how to stop it, by being totally committed to God. I hope we all come to understand that this peace of mind has nothing to do with our material possessions. Church members in some countries are extremely poor. Compared with us, they may not know where the next meal is coming from, or they might just have a little rice and that's about it. But they can have the same peace of mind and joy of life that we can. They might even have it more than we do. Having nothing means their life can be much simpler, with much fewer distractions. We have so many things that can distract us from God's truth, from living by God's word. In fact, I've heard it said that some members in the poorer countries survived the falling away from the worldwide Church of God better than members in the countries who had plenty and who had all these distractions to take them away from the faith in God. Unfortunately, the man who wrote this, he was an evangelist in the worldwide Church of God. He lived the right way for a long time, but in later years, he drifted away and went out on his own. Now, we've read before that Satan's way is jealousy, envy, lust, and greed. And he continually works to try to get us to follow him. In the case of this man, it worked. The article further went on to mention seven of the wealthiest men alive who had a conference in the 1920s. 25 years later, most of them had either committed suicide, gone to prison, become bankrupt, or a fugitive from justice. Their great wealth did not give them peace of mind. Having peace of mind given by the Spirit of God makes us truly wealthy. And the promises of God of eternal life make us wealthier than the richest person in the world who does not have that promise. The spiritual fruit of peace is a fruit that naturally results from harmony and unity with the mind of God. We can read in Psalm 37, verse 11. Psalm 37, verse 11. This makes a direct connection between meekness and peace. We might ask, what is meekness? It is an unfortunate property of sounding similar to weakness, but meekness has nothing to do with weakness. Meekness is one of the greatest spiritual strengths we can have. Meekness is submission to the will of God. So we read in Psalm 37 verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And in verse 37 of the same chapter, Psalm 37 verse 37, "Blame the mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." We previously read that great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. If you turn now to Proverbs 3, verse 13 to 18, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, this compares what the world lusts after, more money, more material things, with spiritual things. It's a comparison. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all they who retain her." Just remember, at times we read Isaiah 11, where the lion lays down with the lamb, an idyllic picture of peace. What will need to take place for that utopia to be set up? Mr. Armstrong said, "On the forefront of God's mind is the re-establishment of God's government on this earth, because everything good stems from good government. So we have to learn proper government now. As part of our responsibilities in God's kingdom, we'll be needing to carry out God's government. So God has allowed man to live his own way for the last 6,000 years, and this has certainly not led to peace. Even now we have two major wars happening with no end in sight, but only the prospect of them becoming more intense and deadly with more nations joining in. Only in God's kingdom will there be peace, with God's law as the world's way of life." We remembered Isaiah 11, and it sounds wonderful, where the lamb lies down with the lion. But that's impossible now. But it's going to happen. God has promised it, and what God promises will happen. He will send his son, who is named Prince of Peace. That's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But in Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18, we read, "The work of righteousness will be peace." That shows that peace and righteousness are connected. "And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Now we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Now this is a very true principle, but today there is much confusion in the multitude of many hundreds of churches of God today. Years ago, I read there are over 400 different churches of God in the world. That is confusion. This will need to be resolved, and only God will be able to resolve it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 talks about Christ himself being our peace. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. If we live as Jesus Christ lived, he gives us his peace as a component of the fruit of his Spirit." Turning now to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling, with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now you'll notice that he is a prisoner of the Lord, and yet he's still talking about peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and through all and in you all. If you turn now to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, where we're told, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, in other words, humans cannot understand it, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, if you turn to James chapter 3, verse 18, James chapter 3, verse 18. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This makes an important statement about being a peacemaker and be called a son of God. We can only be a peacemaker if we have the peace of God in us. As we have heard before, a peacemaker is not a doormat. A peacemaker is somebody who has peace to make peace with, one who approaches life from the perspective of the peace of God. If we don't have peace of mind, it is not God's fault, it's our fault, and we need to pursue it. The lack of peace of mind is an indication that things are not right between us and God. We are not living according to our calling. Now, in some cases, the upbringing of some people has been very negative. Their family has been negative, and the pursuit of peace may be more difficult and take longer than with others. It may be more necessary for that person to emphasize the pursuit of peace, and God can certainly help in this situation. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, one of the purposes of fasting is to break the bonds of wickedness, and this can be bonds of wickedness that we have been brought up with. If you turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, this is talking about Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This could give the impression that Timothy might have had a bit of a problem being timid. Timothy was also told in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul told him, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This appears to indicate that some despised him because of his youth, saying he was too young to be a minister, even though he had known the scriptures from his youth, much longer than probably any of the ones who were criticizing him. Peace only operates in the context of faith, submission, and obedience. As with the Ten Commandments and the nine plus components of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you cannot only have one part in isolation from the rest. Peace is tied in with faith and obedience, as was mentioned previously, and also submission of will to God. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. This is showing that all these considerations are tied in. It is possible to have the peace of God in a death camp, because it is based on our relationship with God and the degree with which we have submitted our will to him. This was remarked on previously in the example of Stephen, who was totally committed to God and was about to be murdered, and yet he still prayed for his murderers. Looking now at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This ties peace, faith, hope, and joy all together. It is a wonderful blessing to have true peace of mind, and it does not depend on upbringing, but only on God's gift. We are called as God's elect to do his work, to understand the purpose of human life and to share that, to understand our place in the work and government of God and the plan of God, understanding how God intends life to be lived, and learning these principles that we are going to be teaching in the near future. We have been called to peace. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. That's just the way it is, and we must be ready for it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now to humans, this appears contradictory. How can we be of good cheer in the midst of tribulation? Many in the world also suffer tribulation, but they do not have the opportunity to benefit from their tribulation. We do. God did not call us to an easy life with no difficulties, but he did call us to a more abundant life than we otherwise would have had, and we have great promise in a future that others do not yet have. We know the future that's ahead for us, others do not, and that itself is very comforting. God's peace is not a peace that others in the world understand or identify with, nor is it a peace that comes naturally to the human mind. It is a gift of God's Holy Spirit, a manifestation of the mind of God, evidence that Jesus Christ is living in us and God the Father as well. It is obviously a very important principle with God, as shalom, that's the Hebrew for peace, occurs, I counted up in Strong's Concordance, it occurs 179 times. That is certainly a great emphasis on the subject of peace. And Aranya occurs 82 times in the Bible. And there are even other words for peace that are also translated peace. With all these occurrences, God certainly considers peace a good thing that he wants us to have. So if we want more peace in our lives, more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ gave the method in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things, including peace, to those who ask him? As we have seen, there are conditions that need to be met, but when we meet them, as far as we are able, we have a tremendous hope for the future, living in peace with God.